I love that music so much I could listen to it, but I so want to talk to Sue Frost, so we're going to stop right there. Sue Frost is the founding partner of Junkyard Dog Productions, which is the lead producing entity of the Broadway musical Come From Away. They currently have 5 productions around the world: Broadway, North America Tour, Toronto, London, and Australia. Yes, they are all on hiatus. She's also an active member of the Broadway League, working on multiple task forces aimed at bringing Broadway and touring Broadway back. We welcome her to discuss the future of Broadway this morning. Sue, it's a great pleasure to speak with you again. I thank you very much for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was nice to hear that music. That kind of lifted my spirit.
Well, it is. You know, first of all, let's get to the, I know we have a lot to talk about, but let me first get to Come From Away as one of the most beautiful, gorgeous, perfect musicals I've ever come across.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, when did you know you were on to something really special?
Oh, boy, the first time we saw a 45-minute presentation of a show at a musical theater festival, the National Alliance for Musical Theater Festival of New Musicals, and the minute it ended, we were all just like, oh, my gosh, what was that? We have to be part of it. We just absolutely loved it.
Did you think it would have the legs that it's had? I mean, that it would become, a musical that people would travel the country to come see in New York?
Well, we knew that wherever we did it, we were going to get a great response just because of the sort of the infectious humanity of it all. We did not immediately think it was a Broadway show. We were a little concerned about that because it was not a recognizable title. It was an ensemble show, so we would never have stars in it, and everybody was going to call it the 9/11 musical. So those are 3 strikes against you for Broadway. But we went out of town to La Jolla and Seattle and Washington, D.C. and Toronto, and everywhere we went, people loved it. And we realized that we had the capacity to fill a Broadway house every day with people who wanted to see the story. So it was a long journey, but it was a very productive journey for us.
So bring us back to March 2020, and... When do the walls start crumbling in and you realize that you have to figure out what you're going to do?
Well, you know, probably late February, early March, we were starting to get anxious. Funnily enough, our Australian company was supposed to tour to China this summer. And so we were watching what was happening in China very carefully. We did not necessarily anticipate the impact it was going to have on us here, but we were watching it and being careful about it. And then my partner and I, we got on a plane to go to London to celebrate the first anniversary of our London show on March 7th. And a little anxious about it, but we wanted to go, and came back on March 12th, the day they shut down Broadway. And... within the next week, all 5 companies had shuttered.
So, as of now, you're months into it. What is it like to be on hold?
Well, you know, it's so funny because when we first shut down, we had no idea how long it was going to be.
Right.
I think we all thought we'd be back up in the summer, and as the sort of as it keeps. The return keeps getting pushed back. You go through periods of despair and then periods of optimism. We try to keep our spirits up. We try to keep our spirits up for all of the folks who are looking toward us to make sure that we come back and we come back strong. But it's been hard, and the last couple of weeks have been particularly hard. I worry so much about our company members who are concerned about their unemployment, they're concerned about their health, insurance, all those things that are coming to a close potentially. We worry about the multiple small businesses that support the industry as the PPP loans come to an end and they furloughed employees become unemployed. It's challenging. It's very challenging. It, you know, Broadway is a massive community, and people see the people on stage and the ushers and all of that, but they don't know the hundreds of people it takes to actually put these shows up and then keep them going. So it's a worrisome thing, but it is also an industry of optimists and artists who are always prepared to pivot, and that's what we do. We just keep going.
This is an odd question, but it's one that I thought of while I was going to sleep last night, so I figured I'd ask you. Who owns the Broadway theaters? In the sense of the theater that you are in, who owns
that? The theater that we are in is owned by the Schubert Organization.
Okay, so they own it. They're not paying rent. They own it.
They own it. That's correct.
Yeah. So there's a little comfort there then.
Yeah, there are three main theater owners. There's 41 Broadway theaters.
Yep.
The Schubert Organization, Nederlander, and Drew Jampson. And then there are the four nonprofits, the Lincoln Center, Manhattan Theater Club, Second Stage, and Roundabout. And then ATG owns a couple of theaters. That's the core ecosystem of the actual physical buildings. And then we, the producers, come in and we rent it. We bring everything in. We pay the salaries of everybody who comes into the show, into the theater.
So, as I mentioned in the introduction, you have been working on multiple task forces aimed at bringing Broadway and touring Broadway back.
Yes.
I probably don't have to say this, but I will anyway, which is that, of course, touring Broadway is just as important, because not only is it supporting theater, but it like places like Proctor's Theater here in Schenectady and other theaters throughout our region. I mean, that it's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
So these do go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just focus for a moment on Broadway, of what it takes. Some have said, I mean, it's basically been the Broadway League has announced we're not going to see anything until 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, some shows have set dates. In your opinion, is that wishful thinking, or is that something that we, like, you have to do that?
Oh, I think you have to do it. You have to always be looking forward. You know, I think that... I don't know that it's wishful thinking. I think we are targeting spring. A lot has to fall into place for that. You know, we like to say we were the first ones out and we're going to be the last ones back. We are not going to be able to come back with social distancing. That is not, that our economic model will not sustain that. We can't social distance in the theater. We can't do it backstage. So there has to be a protocol in place where we feel that our employees and our audience are safe. There are a lot of very smart people working on this. We have several members of the Broadway League who are on a special task force that the governor has set up, and they're working very hard to find ways for us to come back. Broadway is a huge economic engine for the city,
right.
And I don't know where I read it just the other day. Somebody put in writing what I've been saying all along, is until Broadway is back, New York City is not back.
Right.
And everybody knows that, and everybody's working hard to figure out what that looks like. And I just want to just say one thing while I have the chance. I just want to plug the real strong leadership that New York City and New York State are blessed with. And we're in a position to come back, barring any, you know, second wave, any unforeseen situation. Everyone is working very hard to bring Broadway back.
So you're pleased with the leadership in both New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
I actually just got off a phone call with the Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the industry getting the opportunity to put a human face on what's happening to our business, you know, and what has happened. And, you know, our biggest concern right now is we're losing a lot of people. People are having to leave the city because they can't pay their rent. They can't... they can't sustain themselves here. And so the longer this goes on, the scarier it gets for a lot of people.
When you have these meetings and you think about things, I mean, you were just talking about the economics of it. And so it makes sense. I saw somewhere, and I was trying to pull it up just a minute ago, and I couldn't find it, but there was a picture of what a future Broadway theater would look like, and it was taken from the stage, and you look at the house, and then there's all these seats that are in white, and those are like the only places where people can actually sit.
Mm-hmm.
And so... how do you do that? I mean, how do you make money?
We don't.
You don't, right? I mean,
we don't. We can't. That's why we can't come back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, within phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, there are ways for people, some businesses to come back with social distancing and people wearing masks and people being careful. We can't do it. Now, you've seen my show. It's like one big petri dish on stage. You've
right.
got the band, you've got the actors. There's no way they can be socially distant, right? So we have to know that either there are enough health and safety protocols in place, whether it's testing, whether it's rapid testing and making sure that when people walk into the building, they don't have the virus. What that looks like with an audience, you know, it's just, and I'm on multiple task forces. A lot of them are health and safety protocol conversations. Some of it has to do with Broadway. Some of it has to do with the road, how we communicate, whatever those protocols will be, how we pay for them. It's multi-layered, but there's a lot of great minds working on it.
Well, that is the assumption, that there's great creativity and great minds working on it to figure it all out. Just so folks know, Sue Frost is with us. We are talking to her about the future of Broadway, founding partner of Junkyard Dog Productions, which is the lead producing entity of the Broadway musical Come From Away. When you think about, as you say, your show is set. Your show is, it's a petri dish on stage, as many / most shows are. So you are also working with producers of all the other shows that I assume that are both mm-hmm. set and ones that are planning on coming to Broadway if and when that is possible, right? Meaning for them. When you take that into consideration, does it come down to, all right, well, we're sort of just waiting on a vaccine?
Well, I mean, that's the easy answer. I don't know realistically if we want to wait for the vaccine. You know, I don't know how long that vaccine is going to take.
Right.
And I also don't know necessarily that, you know, that not only does it have to be a viable vaccine, but it has to be accessible to everybody. So whether it's a vaccine or whether it's whatever it takes to treat the virus so that it is not as deadly as it can be, whether it's, as I say, rapid testing so you have the ability to know if someone walking into the building might have COVID.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever those combination of things are, that's what we're talking about and working on every day. And, you know, the other thing about this is, as you know, things keep changing.
Right.
You remember when you brought your groceries back to the house and you scrubbed everything, and then, no, it's not necessarily on the surface. Now it's airborne. What are those HVAC systems looking like in the theaters? Masks really work, you know. How do we make sure that everybody's wearing one? All those kinds of things. I mean, we talk about it endlessly. I think I'm probably on Zoom calls, you know, every day, all day, with different people. But you know, the other thing about the social distancing, also, Joey, I want to say is, we are social creatures. We come together in the theater to celebrate our humanity together.
Yes.
The feeling of being in a theater. I mean, I know the picture you're talking about. I think it was Andrew Lloyd Webber did it at the Palladium, where you had people sitting 6 seats away from each other. That human experience is not. That's not going to happen when you're spread out all over the theater. You know, that response between the audience and the performers on stage.
Well, especially for your show, because it is a celebration. I mean, the whole show is a celebration. I mean, there's some shows, you know, that are just that are stultifyingly depressing, and you just want to be by yourself with your thumb in your mouth.
That's how we bring Broadway back.
Put weeping,
stultifying, depressing shows.
Well, I'm all for that, but that's you know, that's just me. You know, I think when I want to, you know, broaden out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As a theater goer and somebody who loves the theater and has been a theater creature my entire life, man, being without it is awful. So, I mean, there is an emotional and a psychological impact for all of you for this as well. I mean, I would think anytime you walk down 45th Street and saw the Schoenfeld with nobody in front of it, that you would, your heart would fall.
Yeah, Times Square is pretty grim right now.
Yeah.
You know, and every once in a while, like just listening to the music today just kind of brightened me, because at any given time, I'm tuning, you know, before pre-pandemic, I would be reading, you know, performance reports from all over the world, and I would be watching film clips, you know, video clips of excerpts from the show and all of that kind of stuff. And you realize, and I would stand in the back of the Schoenfeld twice a week to just sort of watch the show and watch the audience watch the show. And not having that is hard. It's hard. And for the performers, who, it's their lifeblood. It's really, we had a Zoom call with our touring company last night, and just, you know, everybody was happy to see each other, but everybody misses the show so much.
Yeah.
You know, they, hard.
Do you think Broadway will come back first and then touring, or doesn't it necessarily have to happen that way?
You know, if you'd asked me that 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, I would have said touring's going to come back first. But given what's happening across the country right now, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that, you know, New York has done an amazing job of containing this, and New Yorkers are working really hard. And I think Broadway has a very good chance of coming back first.
I have two big issues to talk to you about in our remaining 8 minutes. So let me ask the real big one first, and then I'll hopefully have time for the second. Another big issue that's coming up, of course, within the theater community is dealing with Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
How do you make Broadway more inclusive? How do you make it more equitable? This is obviously something that many art forms have dealt with and are trying to deal with, some successfully, some not successfully. What job do you have before you at this point with that subject? And also, does, in some weird way, this pause give you a moment to say, okay, as we regroup, we have to also regroup with this in mind?
Yeah, no, you know, it's so interesting, because after we shut down, I would have said Broadway's going to be very different when we come back. I'm looking forward to seeing what it's going to be like. And now I think there's an added necessary layer to that, which it really is going to look very different, and rightfully so. I think there are silver linings to this pandemic, and if there is one, it is that we have the time, and we have the opportunity, and we have the moment, and we have to seize it to right these wrongs, and to look at the stories that we're telling and how we're telling them and who's telling them. There was a lot of work going on behind the scenes before George Floyd was murdered and Black Lives Matter exploded. But there's an urgency now to it and an accountability to it. We've been doing a lot of listening. We've been doing a lot of sharing of stories. And, you know, how we bring more people of color into our work and into our audiences is an absolute priority. And I think Broadway and the whole industry is going to, if not immediately, look very different, very, very soon be very different, and in a very positive way. It's going to reflect the world we live in and the country we live in.
Will audiences, do you think, respond to that as well? I mean, there is a commercial interest here, of course.
Sure. I never underestimate audiences. I think audiences want to be entertained. They want to be educated. But most importantly, they are going to respond to great stories.
Right.
And there are so many great stories that we're not telling yet, that we need to tell, and there's so many stories that are being told that need to be told perhaps more honestly and more humanistically, and I don't underestimate our audiences, and there's a lot out there that we can do and continue to do, and I think it's going to be exciting to see.
This may seem,
how we come back.
This may seem like a flip comment, but I don't mean it as such. But you know, if you can't do it in New York, where can you do it, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I mean, your audience. I mean, the theater audience is a very basically a very progressive audience.
Yep. Yep.
So. And so that does work for you, I assume. The other issue that I wanted to talk to you about is going back to your great folks, who your staff and crew and the actors who put on this show night in, night out, and bringing them back, hopefully in early 2021. What do you need? What kind of money are you looking at? What kind of aid package has to come out? And what are you pushing for, given that you are such a moneymaker for the city? And a lot of, as you say, New York doesn't come back until Broadway comes back. How do you make that case and put a price tag on what you need?
Oh, boy. How much time do we have?
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. I was going to save that big question for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
You know, there's so much. I mean, whether it's what we need to do to sustain the hundreds of people in this industry that have been left adrift now, what do we have to do to keep them here? What do we have to do to welcome them back? I mean, we're going to all come back. What's going to be fascinating about this is you've got 41 theaters. I think 40 of them were lit. Some shows have said they're not coming back, but most of them are going to try. They're all going to come back, and we're not going to have any money in the bank because all of those tickets have been refunded, right? And nobody's been buying in advance. So we're coming back in a place where we really need to encourage people to come back to see us and to feel safe and come back to see us. We're going to need some assistance to weather the first few weeks as we try to. You know, reach out to, ultimately it's going to be people that are not tourists who are going to come back and say, we want Broadway and we want to sustain it, you know, but at the same time, we also have to make sure that the people, and not just the people on the stage and backstage, but the multitudes of support personnel. I just was on the phone with somebody and said, look at the back of the playbill and look at all of those people.
Yeah.
They make their living from this industry, and these people are not working now. We have to make sure our shops can come back. We have to make sure that our employees can live in the city while they get their feet back under them. You know, the thing about we are not looking for a handout, but we are looking for help, a hand out to help pull us back.
Does, and just because you said this, I when you say you're looking, you can expect tourists to come later, and you're going to need really the locals to come in, but in your case, for your show, the locals have seen it, right? I mean, is...
No, you know, I think...
Or is that not true?
There's still people in the tri-state area who have not seen it. I don't think we've exhausted that.
You're 3 years on Broadway,
yeah,
right?
We're 3 years in.
Yeah.
And I think there's still, and we were talking about this actually before the pandemic, is how we continue to reach out to those folks who are not, you know, domestic tourists or international tourists, to remind them that we're there. It's also a show, Joe, that people see over and over again.
Well, that's true.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people, and they've said it to me, it's like, I cannot wait to be in that house when you guys come back, because we need the show. We need the message of the show.
Yeah. Well, Sue, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us.
Thank you.
This has been a lovely conversation. I probably will reach out to you in a couple of months, and
yeah,
we'll kind of get an update.
Doing.
Yeah, see how...
smiling.
I so appreciate you fighting the good fight and working on behalf of all of us theater lovers, and of course congratulate you on your great work, and I appreciate it.
Thank you for spreading the word.
Thank
it's
you
much
so much.
Appreciate it.
Be
okay.
Well.
You
again,
too.
Sue Take Frost care. Is founding partner of Junkyard Dog Productions, which is the lead producing entity for Come From Away, the Broadway musical. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.